Today on Real Radio.
Calvary Chapel's not going to save you. You don't have to be a member of Calvary Chapel. I don't have to baptize you. And you don't have to give a penny to this work. Are you born again? And be warned of any group that says you've got to be baptized by our pastors or you'll never make it into the kingdom and all this stuff. That's dangerous. Get away from that. He has a worldwide flock. And he bought it with his blood.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We'll be looking at another 10 verses, 11 through 21. In recent studies, we asked the question, are you a sheep? Of course, there's more than one meaning to the metaphor sheep applied to God's people. But if you are, then you are saved for sure. That's the title of our study taken from the Gospel of John chapter 10. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
It doesn't matter what's politically correct. The shepherd is committed to what's theologically correct. And I tell you, this is a dying breed of people that Jesus is talking about in the church, in the world today. Because, frankly, people are thinking about themselves and their agenda. The hireling does not protect the flock. There's another thing the hireling does when that happens. Look at verse 12. He leaves the flock. He leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters the sheep, or scatters them. So whenever a church is ravaged by false doctrine, and it's always happening, people, when you see a church begin to morph into some strange thing, and they're people no longer carrying their Bibles, they're no longer judging what's being taught in that ministry against the Word of God, if it makes them excited, if it makes them feel good, it makes them laugh, then it must be from God. And you're being deceived. It's a dangerous place. A shepherd sticks. A hireling leaves. They not only will not defend the flock, but they leave the flock, abandon them. And I believe it's Ezekiel chapter 34. God talks about this very specifically. It's tragic. And then third, verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. See, he doesn't have a deep vested interest in the sheep. It's a job. Now, I have been stopped at places like Home Depot and Costco and stuff, and I know you mean well, but it'd be on my day off, like Monday, and somebody will say, I know you're not on the clock, but I have a Bible question. There's no greater way to hurt me than to say that. I mean that sincerely. I know you're not on the clock, but I have a Bible question. My friend, if I were to come back to you and say, please tell me you've been at Calvary Chapel for about a half an hour, because I hope you would have been convinced by now. All of us, I would trust, love the Bible, and we're never off the clock, any of us, are we? Nor would we want to be. It's our life. Off the clock? No. Don't say that. Because if I can't stop at Home Depot or somewhere and talk to you about a Bible question, then my friend, I'm a hireling. I'm starting to see the ministry and you as somebody that I deal with at certain prescribed times of the day and outside of that time, I'm on my own. And yet my shepherd, our shepherd, never deals with us that way, does he? Jesus is always on. And so should every believer. I don't think we have a day of retirement coming until we check out of this planet. That's important. Well, the fact is the hireling's been hired. He says, and this is what makes them the hireling, is that they don't care. It's one of the traits. They just don't care. In contrast to Jesus, who the Gospels tell us that Jesus, when he saw the sheep, when he saw the flocks, what did he do? He groaned with compassion. He was moved with compassion to help them. No, not this guy. This guy wants to punch out. And again, he's speaking to people. And you know how Jesus is. Do you think he's like kind of beating around the bush? I bet you he's talking to those scribes and Pharisees, looking right at them. Yeah. You know what? The hireling leaves. He's in it for the money. When the wolf comes, he takes off. Knowing Jesus, the way that he teaches, it probably had happened in the lives of those guys probably earlier that week. So pointed he is and direct. I love it. The hireling does not care about the sheep. Many times people will say, hey, I wonder if you have any openings at Calvary Chapel. You know you got the wrong person on the phone when they say, what does the position pay? Now, if I've got that phone call, they're done. It's over. If somebody calls and says, well, you know, I'm really called by God. I have such a burden for his people. And the Lord showed me from my youth all this. And by the way, what does the position pay? What kind of benefits? What's in it? What do I get? It's over. God is working in the lives of people who say, I've been called by God. I know it. And I just want to serve God's people. And I wait. I wait and wait and see how many hours or days it takes to see if they're going to bring it up. And the ones that don't bring it up are the ones that I want God having here to minister to you. Because if all else fails and the market crashes and the power prices go up and there ain't no rain and everything's over, you know what? I want them to stick here. I don't want them to say, well, man, I'm moving. I'm going to wheresoever. I got a better job. A job. Wow. That's dangerous. Let's keep going. Their third consideration in verses 14 to 16 regarding us being saved for sure is that Jesus knows all his sheep. We already saw in John chapter 10 that he knows them by name. But he says here in verse 14 that he owns every little lamb. He knows them all and he owns them. I am the good shepherd. Second time he said that. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. He owns them. We know him. He knows us. There's that security. And verse 14 alone is a strong argument that you and I should have tremendous security as believers in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, do you? Are you secure this morning? Don't let somebody tell you that you can't know. The Bible says these things have been written that you might know that you have eternal life. Do you know? Does the shepherd know you? Do you know him? In Matthew 18:11, Jesus says that we are so valuable that he teaches the parable that there's a shepherd and he has 100 sheep, but one's missing. And he leaves the 99 sheep and goes after the one and finds him way up on the mountain. He finds that wayward little lamb and he brings him back home. And it says there that the shepherd will gladly leave the 99 to rescue the one. I am so glad that I am one of them. Because my shepherd will leave the 99 to come get me. If you're a Christian and you're backslidden right now, that is, you're living with your boyfriend or girlfriend or you're doing things you ought not to be doing, and yet you're a Christian and you know down deep inside, I ought not to be doing this. In fact, even now that I've mentioned it, you're like going, oh no! The Holy Spirit's going, you. I love you. I don't want you to live like this. I've got a plan for your life. You're messing up the perfect plan I've got for your life. You're my child. And remember, he will come get you. And we've already learned in this chapter that if necessary, he'll take his rod and break your little leg because he loves you so much. He'll get that lamb back home even if he has to break its leg. Don't fight against him. Take comfort in him and listen to his voice when he speaks. We see here also in verse 15 that his sheep have been given to him. The Father has given us to Jesus. It says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's a beautiful thing. The sheep that have been granted unto Jesus, the Bible teaches us in numerous places that the Father and the Holy Spirit have given us unto Jesus, that we've been called to Christ by the Father and by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is also teaching us here that him and the Father are in exact agreement on the fact that he would lay down his life in honor to the Father and for our own salvation. Jot it down. I'll paraphrase it quickly. It's a great verse regarding this truth. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Isaiah 53:5 goes on to tell us there that Jesus Christ there was offered up in a prophetic sense 743 years before Jesus ever died on the cross. Isaiah prophesied that Jesus Christ would come into the world, that he would be sacrificed for our sins, and that it would be ordained and decreed by the Father. Isaiah 53:5. Isaiah 53:11 says that the Lord shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. And he goes on to say there that his servant, Jesus Christ, will be the offering for the sins of the world. That word is atonement for us. Jesus was our atonement. That is, he died in our place. Verse 15, he lays down his life for us. Also, verse 16 teaches us that he has a worldwide flock. I love it. And other sheep. Get your pen out. This is you and me. Verse 16. This is awesome. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Technically, this fold refers to Israel, those he's speaking to. I have other sheep that don't belong to this fold. He goes on. Them also I must bring. And they, he's referring to the Gentiles, that's us, non-Jews, Gentiles, will hear my voice, and they, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. How many flocks? One. How many shepherds? One. This is great, because in Galatians 3:28, Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. We are all one in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us. There's one flock. Now listen, when you can get a Jew to fellowship with a Gentile, that's a miracle. Because they had been taught, not from the Bible, but they had been taught in traditions that Gentiles were created to be fuel for hell. Laugh, but it's true. They believe that no Gentiles get to heaven. But if you read the Old Testament from Genesis on, it speaks about God using the Israel as a nation, a people, to spread the gospel around the world to save the world. The Gentiles. It's throughout the book of Isaiah and other places. Clearly. Well, what happened? They got their eyes off the Bible. They got into the teaching of men. They got derailed and began to see themselves as the only ones, the only flock. Jesus comes on the scene and says, hey, I got news for you. This flock, Israel, yeah, you know what? I also have sheep that have not been yet added to this flock. And they knew exactly what he meant. And it drove them up the wall. Now listen, we need a lesson in this, and we need a spanking in this. Because there are so many people across this nation, maybe around the world, that say things like, well, I go to First Baptist Church of... Well, then you bump into somebody who goes to the Second Baptist Church of... Or the Third Baptist Church. Oh, I go to the Lutheran, Bapticostal, whatever thing. And then you have somebody, well, I go to Calvary. And we begin to think, well, you know, it's those guys over there and then those guys over there and... Listen, forget the titles, okay? Forget the titles. Forget it. You need a title up on the wall out there so the mailman can find the spot, I guess. Forget the titles. Is Jesus divided? Did Paul die for you? No. Did I die for you? No. Who died for us? Jesus, our shepherd. If somebody is at Joe's Baptist Church or Martin Luther whatever or who knows, I don't care. If they believe and hold to the Christian essentials, then let the peripheral stuff go. I don't care. If you want to argue about being baptized frontwards or backwards and three times or once, go over there and argue with yourself about it. You know what? I'm going to consider you a brother if you believe the Christian essentials. Are you born again? Are you trusting Christ completely? For your salvation and not yourself. My friend, I consider you to be born again. Well, yeah, but you know, I'm a whatever. I'm a Lutheran. You know what? Why don't we just get away from that stuff? Why don't we say, I'm a Christian? I follow Christ. If we start to label ourselves, we get into the trappings of men. Stop saying, oh, I'm from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Don't say that. What does that mean? Did you know most people in this room are Catholics and Baptists and Methodists and Lutherans and people who've never been to church before in their life? Get away from the title. It does nothing but harm. We are united in Christ if we're born again. I don't really care if you just believe that Jesus existed. Are you born again? That makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. Calvary Chapel's not going to save you. You don't have to be a member of Calvary Chapel. I don't have to baptize you. And you don't have to give a penny to this work. Are you born again? And be warned of any group that says, you've got to be baptized by our pastors or you'll never make it into the kingdom and all this stuff. That's dangerous. Get away from that. He has a worldwide flock. And he bought it with his blood. Number four, we're saved for sure because we understand that Jesus controls life and death. Therefore, my Father loves me, he says, because I laid down my life that I may take it again. Verse 17 teaches us that his death was a voluntary act. Jesus' death was a voluntary act. He gave his life. And listen to this. I love this argument. This verse here shows again that Jesus Christ is the eternal God because he says, nobody is going to take my life from me. I lay it down and I'm going to bring it back up. Who can do that but God? Not only is that true, but Jesus prophesies even his very death. I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. You say, well, that's what the Bible says. You're exactly correct because that's what Jesus said. And all of the eyewitnesses heard him say it and they ran and wrote it down. So the big test is to hold out the examining sheet and say, okay, let's see what happens in the next few days. Did he die? Yep. Not only that, he said how he's going to die and then he rose from the dead. That's a fact, my friend. You got to deal with that. Jesus voluntarily laid down his life. Nobody took it from him. And only God can do that. Remember he was on the cross and he cried out, it's finished. I'm done. And the next scripture says, and he then dismissed his spirit. Isn't that great? I'm all done. Okay, I can die now. All right. Dead. You can't do that. I cannot do that. Only God can do that. I love it. By the way, make no mistake about it. The Trinity is taught in this. The Bible teaches clearly that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you know that? The Bible says that in Romans 8:11, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. 8:11. Romans 8:11. In Romans 6:4, the Bible tells us that the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 6:4, the Father raised him. Romans 8:11, the Holy Spirit raised him. And in John 2:19, it says, I will raise up myself, Jesus is speaking. If you don't believe in the Trinity, that ought to keep the rest of your day all messed up. Verse 18, secondly, we see in verse 18 that his death was vicarious. That is, he died in my place. Vicarious. He came in as my substitute. Think about it. Can you imagine? You get caught. You know it. You're guilty. You get caught. The lights come on. Yesterday afternoon, I was raking up the leaves in my front yard, and a friend of mine, many of you know him, he happens to be a police officer, and he was flying over the house in the police helicopter. So he flies over, and he's waving, and my neighbor's next door. He's cleaning up his yard. And here's this police helicopter flying over my house, and the light blinked on and on. You can see this officer waving, and I'm waving like this. And I thought, what in the world does my neighbor think? The cops are circling my house. Even though I wasn't guilty of anything, I began to feel guilty through the eyes of my neighbor. Does he think I'm guilty? But the fact of the matter is, we're all guilty. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. So the light's on us, the helicopter's circling. We look busted because we are. And right when the cars pull up and the guys get out and they throw us on the ground and they get ready to cuff us and haul us away, Jesus steps up and says, it's okay, don't cuff them, take me instead. And he offers his hands to them. He doesn't fight back. He gets in the car. He goes along. He's not only arrested, but there's a trial. It's an absolute farce. It's a joke because he's not the one guilty. He's beaten. He's crucified. He's condemned to death because that's what I deserved. But he came in a vicarious way and saved me and saved you. His death was vicarious in that he died in my place. Do you rejoice, do you realize that those of us who are born again by the power of God will never see actual death? We may die physically, and we will die unless we get raptured now. But we will never see the true meaning of death. Death is spiritual death. Jesus says, if a man dies believing in me, he'll never really die. How so? Because if you're born again, you can't die spiritually. Well, how many times do you have to be born again? One time. Can I be unborn again? Nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. Can you, listen, are you listening? Matthew 13 teaches us that we can believe and never make it to heaven because we never came to faith. Jesus said concerning those who believe for a while, but the cares of this world choke out the word and they turn away and they leave. Jesus says, and these are those who believe for a while. My friend, you got to take your belief this morning and trust Christ in faith and you'll be born again. And you can know for sure of his wonderful saving power. His death was victorious. It says there, and I have power to take it again or to raise it up again. And this command, Jesus says, I received of my Father. Simply this, in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, the scripture says that Jesus, having broken the pains of death, because it was not possible that death should be holden of him or hold him down. Jesus' death was the greatest thing that could have ever happened to us because it was a victorious death. Number five. Saved for sure, Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. Verses 19 to 21, and we'll be done in verse 21. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings, and many of them said, he has a demon and he's mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Referring back to that poor beggar in chapter 9. We see three things here. First thing we see is that division can be a good thing. This is a painful thing, especially after the holidays. Division can be a good thing. Listen up. In Luke chapter 12 and in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus tells us that when the gospel goes forth, a father may receive it, but his son doesn't, and it causes division. Gee, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Jesus says that a mother will accept, but the daughter will not accept, and there's division. Strip away the family ties. Strip it away. Frankly, Jesus is not concerned about your genealogy or your family ties. Jesus is concerned about your soul being presented in heaven before him faultless. He died on the cross not for your family, he died on the cross for you, even though you happen to be in a family. Does he want your family saved? Yes. Did he die for them also? Yes. But he died for you personally. He's your personal Savior.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, reminding us that among God's distinct attributes, one of them is that he is personal. We've been listening to a study called Saved for Sure, taken from verses 11 through 21 of John chapter 10. This is all part of our ongoing series through the Gospel of John, and we'll pick up with more on our next broadcast of Real Radio. Remember now, you can get in touch with us if you'd like your own audio copy of this study in its entirety. We'll be glad to put it into your hands. Just call 909-393-7100. Or you can visit us at our new website, realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. If you prefer calling, our number once again is area code 909-393-7100. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and continues communicating the gospel on the radio because of your financial participation. So we invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us. You can send a one-time gift or become a regular contributor. No gift is too large or too small. Our address? Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Now, if you weren't able to catch all that contact information, remember you can always locate it on our website, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio in Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.